Hello everyone, and thank you once again for joining us at The Biblical Perspective. For those of you who have been with us for a while, you'll know that we're actually on a brand new quarter of studies entitled Comfort My People. And for the first quarter of 2021, we're actually going to be studying the book of Isaiah. So it's really exciting that we're actually here on a brand new year, and I want to just say Happy New Year to everyone, and I hope that 2021 will be better in many ways than it was in 2020. Before I go any further, I'm just going to start with a word of prayer. So just to remind you, you are with myself, Colleen, and you're with Pedro. So let's just have a quick word of prayer before we continue into our first study of this quarter. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to study your word. Lord, as we start our new study on the book of Isaiah, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to understand your word more as we study this book. I ask these things in your name, dear Lord. Amen. So, last lesson, we finished our studies where we were looking at education, and now we're moving on to actually look at, as I said, the book of Isaiah. So during this quarter, during this this first quarter of 2021, we're going to go and study the entire book of Isaiah. So this is a really good opportunity for you to learn more about Isaiah himself and about this period in history. So it's definitely been a very interesting lesson, Pedro, this week. I wanted to start off by just asking about the book of Isaiah and its context, because I feel that it's important that, you know, as we start this brand new quarter and we're looking at the book, that we kind of like have an appreciation and an idea of the foundational knowledge and insight that we potentially need to have in order for us to understand this book better. When we actually start off in Isaiah 1 verse 1, if I'll just read that, it says, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah son of Amoz saw during the reign of Uzzah, Jethram, Ahaz, and Ezekiah, king of Judah. So that in itself, the Isaiah 1 verse 1 gives us like a foundation, in a sense of basically who the author is, who the message is to, and a bit about the political and historical time in which the book of Isaiah was set. We also know as well that the background, some of the elements of the background towards the book of Isaiah in regards to what was happening to God's people during that time can actually be found in 2 Kings 15 to 20, and also in 2 Chronicles 20:6 to 32. So it's worthwhile for those of you who are coming on this journey with us to study the book of Isaiah to actually read those elements in Kings and also in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles to understand the historical elements a bit more. But that's the first point I wanted to start off and ask you, Pedro, just about the historical and cultural and political and even religious element of this book that we need to understand in order to study it more in depth.
I think you have well presented the elements that we need to take into consideration by reading verse 1, which really places us into the context of Isaiah's complete ministry in terms of time and helps us to focus on the particular historical elements that were developed at those times. And you also said that in parallel to the book of Isaiah, we also have the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, from which we can actually have more information, more details about the different kings. For instance, in the book of Isaiah, we don't know what happened to Uzziah, who is the first king being mentioned in verse 1. But when we go to the books you mentioned, particularly to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, then we learn about how long he reigned. We also learn interesting things about his character and how God interacted with him, which in turn gives us more information about the nature of what Isaiah is writing about as a vision coming from God. So to remain within the book itself, of course we can go outside of that and talk about what the political situation was at the time Isaiah comes on the scene, in terms of the relationship of Judah and Jerusalem with Assyria and the different kings of Assyria. We can go into all these details. By the end of the book of Isaiah, the historical part of the book of Isaiah, we do have some details of that. But I think what is important to really look at beyond the context, which is the historical context, which is absolutely necessary, is the theological importance of the message he received then for us today. That will be application.
Yes.
So, yes, you're right. Understanding the historical background, understanding the political situation, understanding Isaiah and the ministry that he was involved in within that setting is important. But we're going to focus particularly on the message itself.
Yeah, and that's great. And before we actually go into the message itself, from a Bible study perspective, because we're approaching this in order from, you know, to learn God, to understand and know God's words more, for someone who is starting reading off a book like Isaiah or any other book, like, is that the steps that we should ordinarily take, that we would advise someone to take when you're starting off, you know, studying a brand new book? Like, say you were going to study the book of Isaiah, as we are, or you wanted to study the book of Revelation or the book of Genesis, or you wanted to do a study of a particular book. Would you say that that would be the appropriate steps to take in order to start that journey to find out all those different elements?
Absolutely. You should have an introduction to this book. And in that introduction, you tend to try and understand who is the writer, what time he lived in. Now, for Isaiah, this is pretty straightforward. Although on some aspects we will be more tentative, but it is quite straightforward. The time he lived in, the people who were around, the political situation. Sometimes you don't have all these elements, but it is worth trying to find out. Everything you can find out about the context in which the message comes will help understand the message, definitely.
Okay, that's great. So I wanted us to focus and stay in Isaiah chapter 1 for this introductory session looking at the book of Isaiah. And I wanted to kind of like going back to, you talked about the theological or the spiritual elements of the study of Isaiah, of this book. And I wanted to kind of like draw some parallel with the people that we, with the message that we hear in Isaiah 1 to our time. And I wanted us to start by looking at Isaiah 1, 2 and 3.
Okay.
Because we've obviously done one. It says 2 and 3. It says, "Hear, O heaven, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand." So in a sense, that's the first introduction we kind of like we have within Isaiah, the first chapter. And then after this, we hear mainly about the sins of Israel and the sins of Judah, the sins of Jerusalem, and all what the people were actually doing at that point. And we also read in Isaiah 1 verse 18, and it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." So what's actually happening here? Explain to me, you know, why the people are acting the way they are, and why this message comes through.
This is an important question, and it is also part of what we were saying at the beginning. When I look at chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, what I see is an interesting structure. You said that we've done verse 1, but I'm not so sure that we've done it. Because right there in verse 1, that doesn't seem to be that challenging. We have a wealth of information that we can gather on who Isaiah is, what his ministry was like, how it was perceived, for how long. For instance, you have how many kings mentioned?
Four.
You have four kings, yes, mentioned in here. Now, the first king, Uzziah, if you go to the other passages you mentioned, such as 2 Chronicles chapter 26, yes, when we hear about him, we learn that his reign lasted for 52 years. Yes. I mean, that's the longest reign, although Manasseh and another one had long reigns as well, but nobody exceeded 52. So this is a long reign. Then we have his son Jotham, who reigned, if we keep reading 2 Chronicles 26, for 16 years. Then we have Ahaz, and then we have Hezekiah. All these guys, they exercised their kingship for a long time. So what we can gather here, first of all, is there is a long period of time on which God is working for the benefit of his people through the ministry of Isaiah. Now, in relation to the verses you've just read, the type of the message, would mean that it lasted for that long that the Lord would try to address his people's problem, which is they can't hear his voice, they can't recognize him, and they go astray from him. So right there, the first verse puts into context the length in terms of time, but also in terms of patience that God is exercising towards his people. Not only that, how long Isaiah bore the same message to a people asking them to return to God. So right there in the first chapter, first verse, we can gather all of that. What I see also, when I read the first chapter, I tend to deconstruct it and reconstruct it in a different way. For instance, do you have another question or?
No, you can continue.
All right. For instance, what you see, I've already said about verse 1, that we have a length of time that is defined through the mention of those four kings and the length of their reigns. Then what you learn about in verse This is how I would restructure it. Verses 5 and 6. Can you read verses 5 and 6 for me,
yes,
please?
Yes, it says, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your feet to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and bruises and open sores.
You see, Isaiah, over this long period of time, I'd like to say that all that is being written here covers the whole of Isaiah's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
However long that was, and we know from verse 1,
yes,
it's long. The situation is one of a sick body. God, in these verses 5 and 6, we face the situation, that of a body that is sick, that is diseased, a body that is ridden with malady.
Yes.
This is the context,
yes,
of Isaiah's ministry,
yeah,
and this is what he is addressing. Then
also to add to that as well as what you've read, there's this portion in
I'm coming to this,
okay,
because I'm kind of,
yes,
restructuring,
that's fine,
the chapter so that we can follow by points.
Yes.
So in verses 5 and 6 we know about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now in verses 2 to 4 we learn about the cause of the situation. But if you look at the way it is structured, it doesn't come like this. So you have to do it yourself. This is a technical point now on how to understand the whole, the passage. You read the whole thing,
mm-hmm,
then you discover point by point what the information is there about. So verses 5 and 6, you hear about the situation, a sick body. Verses 2 to 4, you hear about the cause of that malady. Can you read for us, please?
That's 2 and, what did you say, sorry?
2 to 4.
2 to 4. It says, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox know his master, the donkey his owner, his owner's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him.
You see, this is 2 to 4. This is why the whole body now is diseased. From the sole of the feet to the crown of the head, everything is bruises and disease. Why? Because they refuse to hear the voice of God. God considers them as rebellious children whom he brought into this world and cared for, yet they turned against his authority. You with me? Now, the chapter continues by telling you the result,
yes,
of this situation, verses 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so first of all, we saw verses 5 and 6. Then that was the situation.
The situation.
Then we saw verses 2 to 4,
the
cause,
yes,
of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we, again, keep in mind that this is the situation Isaiah is dealing with over all these years.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. Now, the result of that in verses 7 to 9 and then 28 to 31.
Mm-hmm. So basically, all of these verses are basically the result. But one of the questions that I did have was in verse 9, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, you haven't read it.
No, I haven't.
So read it first.
So we need to read 7 to 9. It says, your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire, your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughters of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melon, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah.
You see, we saw what the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
Disease, yes. Malady, problems, a whole sick body.
Yes.
Then we saw that the cause has to do with behavior,
mm-hmm.
a behavior against God.
God.
Now, the result of that, it when we look at, it's like we're breaking down
mm-hmm.
what it means to be diseased, what it means to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's material, physical, emotional,
spiritual
decay.
Mm.
This is what we see in verses 7 to 9. Hard times, rebellion against God brings
mm-hmm.
hard time.
Yes.
Not listening to the voice of God, not recognizing the voice of God, is a state of disease that brings hard times
mm-hmm.
upon a whole nation. And the last part, verse 9, says, if God had not been merciful even in this condition, they would have disappeared in much the same way
Sodom
and Gomorrah disappeared from the face of the earth. So we learn
mm-hmm.
here about God's mercy still
mm-hmm.
in this situation for that long,
mm-hmm.
according to verse 1.
Despite their condition.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at verses 28 to 31, we're still looking at the results of that situation.
28 to 31.
Yeah.
So I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, I'm reading Isaiah 1:28, and it says, but rebellious and sinners will both be broken, and those who forsake the Lord will perish. You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks in which you have delighted. You will be disgraced because of the gardens that you have chosen. You will be like an oak with fading leaves, like a garden without water. The mighty men will become thinner and will work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire.
This is the result of being diseased, because you would not listen, because you would not hear, and for that long,
mm-hmm.
even when God exercises mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You see how these verses are informing us all of that within the historical background, the time that we hear about by Isaiah mentioning the kings in verse 1, during whose reign
yes.
he ministered. So this is the result. Now I have more verses for you to read. How does the situation express itself? If you look at verses 10 to 15, if you want me to read this, I can, while you're looking at 21 to 23.
Yes.
So shall I read?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let me read 10 to 15. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat, and of the fat of the fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks, or of the lambs, or of the he goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. This is how the whole situation expresses itself. Antagonism between God and his people. A people who will descend more and more into rebellion and abomination while still keeping
the rituals
of worshipping God. Now if you look at verses 21 to 23.
Yeah, and it says, see how the faithful city has become a harlot. She once was full of justice, righteousness used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, companions of thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them.
All of this, we don't have time to continue with that for long, but the picture I want to give here is, in this first chapter, we are given all this information. The last bit of information is what God offers. And we won't have time to read it, but we can find this in verses 16 to 20 and verses 24 to 27. This is what God offers. So if we summarize, we see first of all in this first chapter that the situation is depicted in verses 5 to 6. And then we have the cause of that situation in verses 2 to 4. And then in verses 7 to 9, we have the result, verses 28 to 31, the results of that. Then verses 10 to 15 and 21 to 23, we have how that situation expresses itself over all that period of time that Isaiah is ministering to God's people.
Okay, so we're actually short on time. There's actually quite a lot more we need to say about this, and we won't actually have the opportunity to discuss that today. But I know that we'll be going in depth during our live, where we will be able to address some of the key issues that we did not have time to.
But we're only at the beginning.
We're introducing the study. Yeah. So thank you for joining us today, and I'd like to encourage you to join us on our live, where we'll be able to go deeper into this topic. Not only go deeper, but you'll be able to ask your questions, so that we can all have a better understanding of this very first chapter of Isaiah before we go deeper and further into the study of this book. So thank you for being with us, and I'll see you next time on The Biblical Perspective.